A sharply divided Supreme Court has upheld a Kansas sex offenders program that requires a prison inmate to admit past crimes. An inmate who refuses to do that is penalized by being sent to a potentially more dangerous prison and losing many earned privileges. NPR's legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Just how to treat sex offenders is a subject of much debate. The statistics on success are so subject to manipulation that even Justice Anthony Kennedy, in citing some of them today, acknowledged they may be unreliable. But as the justice observed, one of the crucial parts of a good rehabilitation program is a requirement that people who complete it acknowledge their responsibility for wrongdoing. That's what's at the heart of today's Supreme Court ruling. Kansas, in setting up its in-prison sex offender program, requires inmates at the outset to admit not only the crime on which they were convicted, but all other crimes as well. Most other states do not have such a broad requirement. The statements are not confidential and can be used for later prosecutions. So when Robert Lyle was recommended for the program after 11 years in prison, Lyle refused to answer the questions, claiming that they were compelled self-incrimination in violation of the Constitution. Lyle had been convicted in 1983 of raping a teenage girl and sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole. After 11 years, with good behavior, he'd been promoted out of the maximum security unit to a less dangerous, less crowded, medium security facility, where he had extensive privileges to earn money, receive visitors, spend money in the canteen, and have considerable freedom of movement. His refusal to answer the questions about his past crimes meant he would automatically lose all those privileges and be transferred back to the maximum security unit. He claimed that the loss of his earned privileges plus his transfer back to maximum security amounted to punishment, an attempt to coerce a confession from him in violation of the Constitution's bar to compelled self-incrimination. But today, the U.S. Supreme Court, by a 5-4 vote, said the loss of privileges and the transfer were not punishment, but incentives to get Lyle to participate in the sex offender program. The majority, however, was split on its reasoning, with no single opinion commanding a majority. Justice Kennedy, writing for himself, Chief Justice Rehnquist, and Justices Scalia and Thomas, noted that Lyle's refusal to participate in the sex offender program had not added time onto his sentence, had not affected his eligibility for parole, and, said the justice, these programs are of critical importance in rehabilitating sex offenders. Justice O'Connor did not join the Kennedy opinion, writing separately to say that in her view, the changes in Lyle's living conditions were penalties, and unpleasant ones at that, but not serious enough to be considered a compulsion to confess. For Elizabeth Alexander, the director of the ACLU Prison Project, the court's evaluation was unrealistic, given the fact that Lyle would be transferred back to a unit where he would have three roommates as opposed to one.
Prisoners, sex offenders are extraordinarily high risk of sexual assault themselves. And the court's failure to understand this seems to me to be perhaps the most troubling feature of this very troubling decision.
Officials in other states said today's ruling is a green light to adopting and toughening prison treatment programs in other states. And the lawyer for Robert Lyle, Matt Wildhanger, said his client is likely to give in to the state's program now.
The penalties that they impress upon you are so severe that it's going to force them into the program.
But Wildhanger said he views today's ruling as dangerous. It means, he suggested, that prisons can now create treatment programs for all manner of offenses and use them to coerce inmates into listing their past crimes, information that may later be used to prosecute them. For that reason, Justice Stevens, writing for the four dissenters, called today's ruling a watershed. Said Stevens, if law enforcement and rehabilitation justify impinging on an individual's right against self-incrimination, there soon will be no right left to invoke. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.